I was swindled as a pup. I was disgraced as a young man. And as a man of middle age, I finally found some knowledge, though I knew nothing. I knew not. As I grew older into old age and, you know, eventually seniority, I found the truth. And then I died. Talking shiitake.
Welcome back to Talking Shiitake. This is Christian.
This is Katie.
And thank you for joining us again. We're going to talk about some fun stuff tonight. We're going to talk about the Law of Attraction.
Law of Attraction. I don't know if it's always fun.
It could be, unless
you're... Depends on what you're attracting.
That is true. If you're a negative Anansi, you might be attracting some negative stuff.
Right. Not that we're saying anything about people named Nancy.
I don't know anybody named Nancy, do you?
I think I know a couple people named Nancy, yeah.
I have known Nancys in my life, but I do not currently speak with them.
But this is nothing derogatory towards any Nancys out there.
Yeah, all Nancys are cool.
Well, maybe, I don't know about that. But...
Yeah, yeah. Nancy, yeah.
We're not judging by your name. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I guess we should stop talking about Nancys before we get the Nancys after us.
Right, yeah. Shouldn't have even gone there. That was my fault.
Yeah, that's true. We can edit that out, or we can leave it in and just laugh about it.
So, Law of Attraction.
Tell me about the Law of Attraction, Katie. Is this all this stuff that we saw in The Secret?
The Secret. Well, I guess The Secret is the most popular version of the Law of Attraction out there. Popularized about, I guess she came out with the book about 10, a little over 10 years ago?
Sounds about right.
So if you haven't read the book, I think a lot of people have. It was pretty popular. Rhonda Byrne came out with a book called The Secret, where she goes through all the different, I guess, ways to, some people say, manipulate the law of attraction. She does claim, though, in the book that this is not anything new, that this is really old, ancient knowledge that she's taken. And I mean, you can see it in basically the Hermetic principles is where she got it from. And
what's the Hermetic principles?
It's from Hermes. Hermes is one of the ancient, that's the Greek name for him, but there's also an Egyptian name for him, which is Thoth, T-H-O-T-H, actually it's pronounced Tehote. But he is basically the guy who gave us math, science, astrology, writing, you know, some fairly important stuff in humanity. But there's a whole, I don't want to say religion, but there's definitely a following of his information. And there is a book called The Emerald Tablets. And the Emerald Tablets are basically written information on how everything works. And the follow-up to The Emerald Tablets is The Kabbalion. And in The Kabbalion, you have the Hermetic principles. And there's a lot that goes into the Hermetica. There's many, many books on it. But basically what she did was she took some of these Hermetic principles and she extracted some information from that, which is partially the law of attraction. And basically what she's saying is that the energy that you project out there is the energy that you're going to receive. So if you're out there and you're driving around and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm so late. And then all of a sudden you realize, you know, you're hitting every single red light and this chicken truck's in front of you and the cement truck's in front of you. And you're like, why does this always happen when I'm so late? Because basically you're projecting a certain energy and now that energy is manifesting in your environment.
That just happened to me a couple of days ago.
Did it?
I was late to my eye appointment and everybody that got in front of me was driving extremely slow.
I've seen it firsthand myself, too.
So you're telling me I attracted those slow drivers to me?
Correct.
But why would I do that?
You're not necessarily doing it on purpose, but what happens is you're saying to the universe, I'm late. So the universe is responding saying, you're late. All it's doing is giving you what you've asked for. Now, even though you don't intentionally ask to be late, you're sending out a message, I'm late. Does that make sense?
I'm trying to make sense of it. So if I'm telling the universe I'm late, they're going to kind of confirm the fact that I'm late.
Correct.
Okay. So
yes, so you're sending out a late energy. Now that late energy is manifesting in your environment.
So it's like the universe is saying, you know what? You're right. Let me help you with that.
Yes, exactly. I'm just doing what I'm told. And you're telling them you're late. Or there's a part of the secret that became a little controversial is that the abundance part of it, where if you give something to somebody, then you're saying to the universe, I have plenty. I have plenty, therefore I can give extra. And then by doing that, now you're going to have more abundance because now you're telling the universe that you have plenty. Whereas if you're misery and you hoard everything to yourself and you don't share, then you're telling the universe, I don't have enough. Therefore, the universe is now going to take from you. And this became this whole like trend of everybody giving all these things so that they can get stuff. And it became kind of a joke within like the metaphysical type circles, because you're like, this, you can't fake your intention. If your intention is to give only to gain, do you think that the universe doesn't know this as well? You know what I mean? It became kind of a joke, actually.
So what you're saying is...
My attracted dog barking just now. Did you see that?
You know, Zoe loves to be in our podcast for everybody that doesn't know who Zoe is.
Zoe is my barking dog.
Yeah, she usually makes an appearance each time, so...
So she's just saying hi.
Yep, she is attracted to something, or she is attracting something that would make her bark in her life.
That's correct. Okay.
So what you're trying to say is that the law of attraction is more about the law of intention than attraction.
Yes, that your true intention cannot be masked.
So if you're out there saying, I intend to get rich, therefore, I'm going to do these things like giving to charities or handing out money or something like that just to make myself rich. You're kind of barking.
You're defeating the purpose.
You're barking up the wrong tree like Zoe is right now.
Exactly. So basically what you're doing is you're doing the exact opposite. You're saying that I need money.
Right.
Because I'm doing these things to get money. Therefore, you're actually projecting the exact opposite. So then people were doing this and then saying, oh, this doesn't work. This is a load of malarkey. And, throwing it aside and doing whatever, because they weren't really doing it correctly anyway. And this is why I think some of these principles have been guided and protected for a very, very long time and not given to the general public because of this very thing. Because people will misuse it if they have any power whatsoever.
Now, okay, I know from reading The Secret and watching it back, and I think it was out in 2006 is what I'm seeing, when Oprah kind of pushed it and everything like that.
Right.
And it said that this hadn't been given to the people. But I would think that it was always there for us.
It was.
It's just not everybody chooses to look for it or to read about it.
Right. And if you actually read the Emerald Tablets and the Kabbalion, it actually says this will fall on the ears who are intended to hear it. And you can actually read the words and not understand it. But somebody else could read the words and understand it. So it will only make sense to you if it resonates with who you are and your being and basically are attracted to it. But as far as, you know, just extracting one tiny piece of one principle, you kind of miss the big picture on it, in my opinion.
Yeah, it seems like if you're just trying to gain maybe material things to make your life a lot better, then you are just you're missing the complete point. You're just being selfish and doing things for just yourself. So your intentions aren't to make this world a better place. Maybe it's just to make your world a better place.
Exactly. Well, my thing was when I was looking into this, and I'd already read at the time, I already was fairly familiar with the Hermetic principles, so I was kind of wanted to dive into it a little bit deeper. And to me, it's like, okay, so how does this all work? I mean, so you send out this energy, okay? So I send out this positive energy, and what is there's this like supernatural secretary taking notes of all my mental thoughts and then puts in a work order, and then somebody goes out there and creates it all to happen. I mean, how does it actually work? I mean, that was my biggest thing, is how is this transpiring? This environment changing because of what I'm projecting, right?
Right.
So if you look into, there's certain guys out there that actually have what they call the probability pattern. Dr. David Hawkins, I brought him up before, talks about probability patterns. The renowned metaphysicist Stuart Wilde talks about it. And basically what probability patterns are is that when you, so when you resonate a certain frequency, let's say, so you attract that same frequency. So this is kind of that same thing with the law of attraction. So let's say you're going from your home to your store. So from point A to point B, what does that travel look like? What does that path look like? To you, it may be a simple little drive to the store and very uneventful. To somebody else, they may get into a car accident. To somebody else, they may be enjoying a phone conversation on their Bluetooth. I mean, all these things could happen within that point A to point B. So why is your trip different than my trip? Because your trip, you may be at a certain frequency where you're resonating with a certain probability pattern, where my trip, I may be negative and thinking horrible things, and now I'm resonating with a different type of probability pattern. So when you have this, like, almost like an open slate, and there's all these different options that you can have, well, which option is going to be yours? The one that resonates with you. It's like turning into a radio frequency or turning the dial, and now you're in that frequency. So once you're in that frequency is going to resonate with you. Does that make sense?
It's like when you hear the stop and smell the roses type of thing. You're,
exactly.
You're paying attention to what's going on out there that's maybe not as mundane or trivial or tedious as we like to run our lives.
100%. I think you're absolutely dead on. If you stop to smell the roses, and this is why Deepak Chopra talks about when you travel on your way to work, that you see things like as if you've seen them for the first time. Look at that stop sign as if you've seen it for the first time. Look at that tree. You've seen it a million times, but you know what? Look at it differently now. Because what that does is it actually changes your frequency pattern. So if you're oscillating at, say, like 1,500, you know, oscillations per microsecond, that's a fairly low frequency pattern. So now everything within that 1,500 oscillations per microsecond is going to resonate with you. Does that make sense? So for instance, I was driving down the freeway one day, and I'm sure you know this story, and I was pretty angry at my boss, and I was driving like a crazy woman on the freeway, and a wrench goes flying through my window.
I was just telling that story yesterday.
So this was a pretty freaked out event. It does kind of shake you a little bit as a wrench goes flying through your window. And I started thinking about it. Well, here I am. I'm driving crazy. I'm acting like an idiot. I was pissed off. And what did I do? I was at a certain frequency or resonance that attracted. That wrench was going to fly wherever it was going to fly. But why did it fly through my window? Do you see what I'm saying? So now that probability pattern is what I opened up to. I became susceptible to that because I allowed myself to dip into that low frequency.
But wouldn't a lot of people just say it's a coincidence?
They may. I don't believe in coincidences.
But, how many times do things like that happen? Maybe not quite as drastic as a wrench flying through our window, but...
Quite a bit, though. Think about it. I mean, you think, okay, well, here's a fender bender there, and there's somebody who hit a, you know, curb there, and there's somebody who, something happened to them. Why did that happen? You've now opened yourself up to the, not that something's going to happen, but... If you come in contact with something that resonates with that same frequency, now you've become vulnerable to that incident because you've allowed it.
So if these frequencies actually work this way, it's almost, to me, it would be almost not about the wrench flying into your window or something like that happen. It's how you deal with that directly afterwards that actually has a lasting impact on your
life.
That's
true. That's true.
Because we can just... You know, a wrench just came in my window. Okay, let me pull it out and keep driving. Or, you know, something like that happened in my life, and it causes me to refocus and get myself back into a center where maybe I attract different things back to me instead of all that negativity that I was focusing on.
Brilliant, brilliant, exactly. So now what it's done is it's jarred you back into a different frequency. So do you see where I didn't necessarily want to be within that frequency, so now I've created a situation to get me out of that frequency. Does that make sense?
It
exactly what you just said.
But what if I'm a skeptic? If you're dealing with a skeptic, they're going to come up with a completely different opinion on what that meant to you, or you know, maybe it doesn't have this higher meaning. It's just the way life works sometimes.
Right. So. And the nice thing about physics is that it doesn't matter if you understand it or care about it.
Kind of like science.
That's what I'm saying. It is. It's basically, that's exactly what it is. So if you take it on a deeper level, so let's just say, so how do these probability and patterns work? Because now we're saying the same thing. Is there still the supernatural secretary up there taking notes about my emotions? So if you look into it on a deeper level, and this is where it comes to information that I've gathered, that I've sort of created this theory of my own, where if you look at quantum physics and how it actually works, there's certain, I'm just going to throw this out there, subatomic particles, okay, that actually flow through your body all the time, hundreds of times, if not thousands of times a day, that you aren't even aware of. There's neutrinos and quarks and these very tiny, tiny little particles that flow through your body that you're not even aware of. They're so small that they will just flow directly through matter at any given time. And we know this to be a fact. So when you look deeper into these subatomic particles, there's actually two different kinds. There's more than two, but there are two different kinds of particles. One is a receptor particle, and one is an actual, I guess, a bonding type particle. And I may not be using all the correct terminology because I'm not a quantum physicist, but there's a bonding particle and a receptor particle. So these receptor particles actually receive information. So my theory is that these receptor subatomic particles actually gather the information from your being. So as they flow through your body, they're actually receiving the information that now in turn takes that information to the bonding particles that create this environment.
So is one like,
sense? Is that too far out there?
Is one like the magnet and the other is like the super glue?
Sort of. One's like the data receiver and the other is the little worker that makes it happen.
I've never heard that theory before. But
yeah, no, because I created it.
Because it's yours.
But I'm basing this on real information, though. I'm not like just pulling this out of thin air or out of subatomic particles. But basically, so if you think about it, and it just makes perfect sense to me. So now, okay, so then you're saying, well, but I have all these emotions. I have like, you know, sometimes I'm happy, sometimes I'm sad. You know, how does it know what information to receive? Well, and then now we go back to what I always say, is it consistent in nature? Well, what is consistent in nature is that the dominant trait wins, right? So as it flows through your body, then the dominant emotion wins. So whatever you're projecting the majority of, that is what manifests. And if you're all over the place and it's complete chaos, well, guess what? Your life and your surroundings are going to be complete chaos. Everything that you're projecting is what is manifesting around you. You are a creator. You are the co-creator in this universe. And I've said this before, so that's not news.
So if you're, I mean, and we've all had friends, and you and I share the same friends that may attract a lot more negativity than positivity to themselves. Mm-hmm. Is there any way we as friends, or if, you know, somebody that cares about these people can help them in this process?
Yeah, and this is where I think it all ties together, and it's brilliant. It's such a brilliant system. This is where things like meditation, even affirmations, I'm not huge on affirmations, but these are things that actually can change your resonance, can change your frequency. This is why meditation is so brilliantly important, because if you are sitting for a long period of time and you're focused on one thing, how much information is being gathered by these data receptors at that point? How concentrated is that information? That's why meditation and that concentration on certain things are so incredibly important. And that's why it's talked about thousands of years through history. That's why the Hindus and everybody else has the importance of it. They may not necessarily understand it on a quantum level, but they understand that by focusing on a certain energy for a long period of time, that the result is that much greater. And why is it that much greater? Because now you have a concentrated amount of energy and data that can now manifest itself on a greater level. Does that make any sense?
Yes, but isn't it a fine line if you're focusing on just one thing? I mean, there's definitely famous people in history that have focused on one thing and it's caused their destruction. So isn't it maybe, I think everybody has different views on what they want in their life, and how do you determine what is maybe a positive or a negative, or what's going to be a positive in your life, and how do you keep it healthy? I mean, I believe completely in meditation, and I think it's a great thing, and I wish I was better at it. But if I'm focusing on attracting certain things, like let's say money, wealth, or power to my life, How does that not become a negative?
It's going to be whatever you want it to be. I understand what you're saying, that there's people out there and they have these certain focuses that you're, you know, and it turns into a negative. The thing is, the true intention cannot be masked again. So whether or not they're focusing on this one thing or they appear to be focusing on this one thing, whatever their true intention is what is going to be manifested. So it doesn't really, outwardly, what people say and how they act may not necessarily be how internally they're feeling. Now, somebody may say, oh my gosh, this horrible thing keeps happening to me over and over again. Well, you're attracting it or you're not doing something about it, one way or the other. Does that make sense?
I would think I've used that kind of something similar to that before when I've talked to people that say that they keep dating the same person over and over again. And mm-hmm. they're like, why is this happening to me? And to me, it's this person keeps coming into your life because you are not taking from it the lesson you're supposed to and moving on. You're just not transcending the situation. You're just, since you will not, you almost refuse to learn from it, you're going to attract that same personality in, say, a dating situation into your life until you do learn to let it go and move on.
And this is, and it's so true. And until you learn from it, it's going to keep happening. There are certain things that I feel are in your life karmic contract. Now, those things, that's kind of a whole different story. But certain things are going to come into your life that maybe you didn't necessarily feel that you attracted. But they may be things that are predestined. That's kind of a whole different topic. But how you react to those things, that is how the quality of your life is going to be.
Well, yeah, you see some people that have had the absolute worst things happen in their life. Maybe somebody that they loved was murdered. And they're able to sit in a courtroom and forgive that person and move on. And you know, I can't say I would do that. And I can't say mm-hmm. the majority of us would. But that is something impressive and probably a healthier way of dealing with it. And I would venture to say that, you know, if there is such a thing as law of attraction, then they're going to be attracting a new lesson or a new type of a life to them by being able to forgive something like that.
Because if you can come to peace and to terms with something like that, as tragic as something that happens to you in that situation, imagine the type of peace that would be. I mean, if you can truly forgive and come to an understanding and find that peace, I mean, that's a peace beyond what most people can experience.
Yeah, and I think that's maybe why when we see it in the media, we're so impressed by it and we pay attention to it, even though we might know that that's impossible for the majority of us to do in certain situations.
It's inspiring, though.
Yes, yes. So, yeah, I've always been impressed by that kind of thing. I just can't see myself always being able to do that. I'm a pretty forgiving person myself, but I just could never see being exactly like that in certain situations if something happened to my family member. But I guess that's another type of thing.
It's all obviously interrelated and connected, but if you do hold on to these things, let's just say somebody, maybe not on the scale of somebody murdering, but let's say a friend hurts you and you're bitter about that, and then now you hold on to that bitterness and you don't forgive and you don't let it go, and now that's festering and now it's inside, and now it's like becoming part of you, and that energy is inside of you. So now as the data receptors come flowing through your body, it picks up on that. And so now what you surround yourself with other people that are bitter or that make you feel this way or that make you angry. So now you're creating it becomes a vicious cycle if you can't let those things go, because now you're creating them. If you hold on to the grudges and you hold on to the hate and you hold on to the anger, that's become you now. It has nothing to do with that other person.
It's kind of an interesting way to look at it. But how do you see anybody in, like, I guess the way normal media that we might be able to see as practicing something like this?
In normal media, it's practicing something like this.
You know, the stuff we pay attention to as Americans, TV, music, maybe even religion. stuff like that.
Well, I mean, I'm always lean on the Dalai Lama. I think he's amazing. I think he has it down. He understands it. You can see it in his face. His face lights up. He is unaffected by the things around him because he doesn't hold on to those things. He projects light. And you can even see it just in your day-to-day, the people that you encounter. There are certain people that you encounter that are what you and I have talked about, I think energy vampires or the suckers, or because that's who they are. They have this negative kind of black hole type energy about them. And then there's others that exude like this light about them. And you're like, oh my gosh, this person is amazing to be around. Or they walk into a room and you're like, wow, that person walks into a room. And everybody is like, wow, that person just walked into the room. You know, I mean, there's an attraction about them. There's something about them because they exude that light. There's a certain light that comes from somebody who doesn't hold on to these grudges, that doesn't hang on to the hate. Not that they're perfect. I mean, nobody's, of course, I think everything's perfect. But as far as in what our idealistic terms would be, everybody has their issues. But how do you deal with those issues? Do you hang on to them? Do you let them fester inside of you?
Well, yeah, I think that's a good point is if you... I think sometimes we make those normal lifetime situations, the day-to-day things, we take it personally. So we do. If we take it personally, we hold on to it.
One of the Four Agreements.
Right.
If you've ever read Don Miguel Ruiz's The Four Agreements, that's an amazing book. One of the agreements is don't take things personally because it's not about them. If somebody says something to you and it hurts your feelings, it has nothing to do with what that person said or what that person feels. It has to do with you. Why did it hurt your feelings? If somebody came up to you and said, oh, you have blonde hair, Christian, is that going to hurt your feelings? No, it's not going to hurt your feelings. I don't have blonde hair. What difference does it make? But if somebody comes up and says something to you that hurts your feelings, it's because it's something inside of you. It's something that maybe you feel insecure about or something that resonates deep with you. It's one of your buttons that you put there. You install the buttons. Other people push them, but only you can allow that button to be there.
Right, as they can push your buttons. But if you allow that connection to reach within you, then you're going to react to that button pushing and you will take it personally, and it'll hurt you and damage you, but most of the time people aren't trying to do that.
I don't think anybody's I'm not saying nobody's ever trying to hurt anybody else, but I think when your feelings get hurt, don't look at the person, look at yourself.
Right. It's one of those things where you almost have to be a little selfish and say, what does this tell me about myself?
Exactly. Why did that hurt me? Why do they make me feel? Maybe it's something that I'm feeling bad about. Maybe even something that I did to somebody else. A lot of times we're punishing ourselves. When you talk about previously, when you said how people create this negative energy around them, a lot of times we are punishing ourselves. We feel bad about something that we did that we cannot let go of. We're the only animal on this planet that continues to punish ourselves over and over and over again for one mistake. Thousands of times we punish ourselves for one mistake.
And most of the time, it's not even a major mistake.
And most of the time, it doesn't even matter.
So.
Because we can't let it go. Because we're programmed by the society to continually, oh, we're not this, we're not thin enough, and we're not this enough, and we're not bad enough, and now we're going to punish ourselves over and over and over again. So this is how we create these negative, even though we don't want this negativity, we are creating it because we're punishing ourselves.
Right. So one of the things you hear about with especially smaller societies and how they're able to police themselves without law and government is what's, you know, basically shame. They don't want to
shame.
They don't want to feel shame in, say, their tribe or whatever it is. and once we get to a level where we're at in modern society where your society is so huge that you don't really, people don't notice shame as much because it's, you don't have that close knit.
We're better at disguising it.
Right. It's easier to. But I think what happens is we internalize that shame and keep replaying it over and over again. And then all of a sudden, if, you know, going by maybe the law of attraction, you attract a little bit more shame to yourself. And a lot of times it's not even really there. It's just in your head. It's just a stuck record. It just keeps playing that same spot over and over again until it kind of defeats you or destroys you, or you have to become numb to it. And once you become numb to it, maybe you're missing out on everything.
So how do we get through that? What do you think?
Well, I think you were on the right track when you're talking about having to let go of things or I guess maybe not internalizing it so much. It's not, everything's not about us. You know, they say we walk into a room worried about what people are thinking of us, and most of the time those people aren't even noticing us at that
level. They're worried about what people are thinking of them.
Yeah, so we're just attracting all this stress to us, and it's great for the economy if you're a pharmaceutical company, or,
right.
You know, if you have to have a certain kind of hair product or makeup or Axe body spray to kind of make yourself feel better. It's great to play on that, but it's not a real thing in this world. You know, we have this maybe false reality that we've created around each of us. That's not anything like it really is.
We all have our masks.
That is true.
You know, we wear these masks, and who are we really? And that was where I say we have to know thyself. The Oracle of Delphi, know thyself. Who are you? A lot of time these masks, we don't, most time, I'm not excluding myself in any way, shape, or form, or putting myself on any type of pedestal. I'm saying that basically we wear these masks and then they become us. We have these masks on, then we think that that's who we are. We actually buy into our own facade. We're buying into the whole game. You know, we're not even pretending anymore. Now we actually believe it. And now we can't even recognize who we are because we don't even know anymore.
Right. I always talk about that with how, like a confirmation bias, how we watch certain things on TV that tell us our masks are correct. We watch certain news channels.
Exactly. Good point.
Yeah. It tells us that we are right, and it's nice to be right. And that's a very simple process. I mean, we as parents, we go around kind of pumping our kids up, and sometimes that's not always what we should be doing. And it's kind of, you know, every kid gets a trophy is not always as helpful as we used to think it was. But then again, I don't always buy into the winners and losers thing either. I think
that's a tough one. I agree. That's kind of tough.
I think there's a different reality that we're not able to reach yet because we're so stuck on our old ways. And maybe looking back at our, you know, or the old days for us, which wasn't that long ago, or going back into the our parents, you know, the good old days, the golden generation or whatever you want to call it. And we see all these good things, but we don't see the mask that they wore at that time. And everybody, I think a good example of maybe a law of attraction type of thing is when you go back to the 80s and during the Reagan years, when it was all about being rich and gaining stuff and having all these toys and possessions to show
a material girl, right?
Right, to show how you are making it. And it's maybe to borrow an old phrase, I know Malcolm X said it, but I'm sure someone said it before him, but now the chickens are coming home to roost. We're starting to see the effects it's had on us, and it's not always nice. And it's great for people that sell Prozac.
We do have some issues, don't we?
Right.
I mean, people really do have some emotional issues, and I think it's because there's a conflict there. There's a conflict between what you really feel and what you're expected to be. And those things don't match up. And so now we don't know who we're supposed to be because we can't be ourselves, because when we're ourselves, we're obviously not good enough. And that's what is being displayed in the media, and that's what we're being programmed to believe. And you're right. I mean, maybe 80s beyond, I don't know when it started. To some degree, I think that it's on purpose. I think, and to be another conspiracy out there, I don't know, but I do think that if you understand the system, and just how I've explained it, where if you understood that people create reality, and you knew that you can control the creators because they were mindless and ignorant to the fact that they even do it, wouldn't that be easy? Like, all you would have to do is control, get in their minds. How do you get in their minds? I don't know. You get in their homes. How do you get in their homes? Through television, through the internet, through wherever. Now you can control how they feel. Once you control how they feel, you can control what they create. Now you're controlling the creators.
I think you're onto something. I don't think it's a conspiracy. It's a fact. It's a marketing fact. And it's proven. It works. So how, you know, I love my TV. I love the internet. I like kind of this stuff.
Well, but, and it's the same thing with guns. All right, I don't want to bring in guns, but guns don't kill people. People do, right? And it's the same thing with your information. It's what you do with it that matters. It's the TV's not evil. The information's not evil. It's what you do with the information that can become evil. It's right. The exact same thing. What do you do with the information?
Well, and I think also going along with the TV, if you ask for something better, you're going to get something better from your TV eventually, if we all do. The reason maybe we're inundated with crazy news that's just a bunch of stories to get us all riled up is because we actually do ask for that.
We but ask, if you flip over to Through the Wormhole, it's really good stuff.
Okay, that's a good example. I think it is really good stuff. But what if you're the leader of a church? Is it so good then? I mean, there's always going to be, I guess you go on there looking for some cheap entertainment or something to get your mind off, you know, the day-to-day things and sometimes to learn stuff. But you see people gravitating to certain channels or certain messages.
Right. Again, why do they gravitate to those certain channels and those certain messages? Good point.
Yeah, some of them are just confirming that they're right because it's always nice to hear you're right.
Isn't that you're right on that part? I mean, it's so true. We want to hear that we're right, so we're only going to watch what makes us feel good about ourselves.
Yes, and I don't know how to make that work for all of us. I'm always, and I think you are too. And one of the things we talk about a lot on this podcast, don't just agree with us. Tell us what you think and think for yourselves.
I mean, even though we are right. I mean, I'm just saying.
I think we're pretty right. But if we come out saying that, then we're kind of...
it won't come across too well, right?
Yeah, maybe we're a little elitist or better than thou or whatever. But we're not like that. I think we're definitely people that want everybody to think for themselves. But it's... thinking for ourselves can be dangerous too. So I think that's where we might have to figure out. And I think the law of attraction is a good way of starting, but you really do need to, when you're trying to attract the good things into your life, maybe see what your intention is.
True intention. And that comes with understanding what you want, who you are, and what you really want out of life. And if you can answer those questions, then you're well on your way. Yeah, but I guarantee most people cannot answer those questions. What do you really want? It's not what other people want, what makes other people happy. It's not about that.
Right.
What is in your heart? What is true within yourself? And the only way to get that answer is to turn inward. That's the only way to get it.
Yeah, and I think when you're turning inward or when you're asking these questions and you say, oh, I just want a lot of money so I can buy me a new car and a new house and not have to work, I don't think that's... when we have those thoughts, we shouldn't beat ourselves up because
it's evil about that.
No, it's a normal thought. And
you want to live a comfortable life and be content and have money. There's nothing wrong. I don't think money is evil.
Right. So if we start beating ourselves up over it because, hey, that's not really a higher intention. It's not wrong, though. It's a part of our basic build as a human. Mm-hmm. So you're like, oh yeah, that's true. I like that. But what's, you know, if I did have that, how, what would I do with it? What would I do to make my world and the world around me better? Then maybe you're going to start, maybe you just need to ask a couple more questions when you realize that some of those material things are what you want. Cause trust me, I want to have a lot of money and maybe even have some power here and there and stuff like that too. I'm not any different than anybody else. Mm-hmm. But from there, what is your intention with once you get that? Or why do you need that? Do you need that to prove to everybody that you are a viable person in this world and people should respect you? Or you just want to have that just to have a little freedom to do whatever you want to? I mean, and I think that's where you see a big difference. Some people want that power and the money just to prove to everybody that they're successful.
It's true. Or maybe it's just to make your life easier. It's so funny if you kind of look back through history and you say, okay, you know that there was some woman beating their clothes on a rock, trying to clean their clothes, going, man, I wish there was a better way to do laundry. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
And then somewhere down the line, that invention was created to do laundry. And same with dishes. The same with getting us from point A to point B. Oh my gosh, there's got to be a better way than walking, right? Okay, well, then we have these wheels, and then we have a wagon, then we have horses, we have... Well, I put the cart before the horse, but basically, you know, I mean, then there's inventions where we don't even need horse. I mean, think about it. We've wanted and wanted and wanted and wanted, and a lot of these are just to make our lives just a little bit easier, a little bit simpler, so that we can maybe focus on the other things. And you look at all the inventions that have been created because of that very thing. We've actually created it.
Right. I think Bill Gates is one of those ones that will tell you, hey, I don't mind hiring a lazy person because they're going to find a better way to do it.
That's brilliant.
Right. And I think it's just funny because you look at a guy that's a billionaire like that, ultra-ly successful, and he's going to say something like that, which seems counterintuitive. But in the end, when you find a better way of doing things, it's cheaper. So if we're living in the capitalist society we are, it's cheaper. It makes more of a profit. You can free up that manpower to do other things that make you more money. So it makes sense. It's just, I think when you get to that level, maybe it's kind of hard to be able to, I guess,
step outside of it or something.
Yeah. You're kind of enslaved to what you've built, which is, which again, isn't a bad thing if you can, if your intentions can align with what you really want in this world, your principles. And I think that's where we all know when our intentions don't align with our principles, no matter what we are, whether we're ultra religious or, you know, ultra atheist. If our principles don't align with what we want, it causes a lot of turmoil.
It does. And we may not always recognize it, but if you look around, you'll see the signs in your life.
Signs everywhere, signs.
Right? Blocking up the scenery.
What about stop signs? So I should be looking. I should be looking at these stop signs because you said earlier I should be.
It's
looking.
It's like that. I love that scene in Yes Man, where he's like, "Show me a sign." Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
And there's all these signs like falling off a truck in front of him, and it's saying "Stop, stop, stop." It's just show me a sign. Like there's all these signs. Sometimes they're right in front of your face, and you never even see them because we're not looking any. We're not looking deep enough.
Or maybe we're looking too deep, and they're
right there, right?
Yeah. Sometimes we look too hard for the absolute sign, the sign from God, and the signs are just sitting right there in front of us.
And this kind of brings me. I'm glad you brought up God, because when we talk about the law of attraction, and when I get into the whole particle physics and all that stuff, and how that all works, I'm not negating the fact that there's a creator. I just want to put that out there. It's saying that this system that's been created is absolutely perfect. It's so amazing. And if you can look at it on that level, where, I mean, the system is created to where it's so perfect. There's no wrong, really, because the only thing that's happening wrong is what you've created to be wrong. Then it's exactly what you created and what you intended. Do you see what I'm saying? It's an absolutely perfect system. It's brilliant.
Right. But for many people that don't believe there's a creator, you know, and maybe that's just a generic term to some of these people, but there are a lot of people that don't believe there's a creator. That doesn't mean that the law of attraction doesn't work. It's
true.
We attract like-minded people to us. We are attracted to people that think like us, look like us, act like us. So at every level, there's some kind of law of attraction. And I think there's, whether you believe in a higher power or not, you got to find that healthy place for it.
Yeah, and then I don't know if there's, you know, whether or not it's, like you said, higher power, God, wherever religious, whatever take you have on if there is or isn't a creator. Even a lot of scientists may not say that they believe in the Christian view of who God is. Even Stephen Hawking believes from his last book, there is a grand design. I mean, that's the name of his book. He doesn't necessarily understand where it comes from, but he realizes that it's not an accident, that there is something on purpose here, that there is a design and a pattern to what we're living within.
Now, should we be spending a lot of time trying to figure out this design? Should we just accept what other people tell us the design is, or should we live our lives to the best, you know, the best of our abilities and be okay with that? And
right, great question, because I think that everybody has a different reasoning for that. I mean, you're here for one reason, I'm here for one reason. Everybody's here for their own thing. So for most people, I mean, it's okay to live life and never even question any of this. I think you don't even need to look into it. Unfortunately, there's something within me that makes me have to do it.
Yeah.
So for some people, it's perfectly, I'm not saying they should even want to understand it, but for me, I have to try. It's just who I am, and I'm okay with that, and I don't care really what anybody thinks about it.
I think that old saying, ignorance is bliss, is right on.
True.
Unfortunately,
true.
I don't get
it's
to...
It's not always a luxury for everyone.
Right. I don't think I've ever gotten to walk that path. And not saying
right.
that I'm smart about everything. There's probably plenty of things I'm ignorant about. But just kind of in a general term, I'm looking for answers. I'm not staying in the box that we are led to believe is true or that we should follow according to our society and everything. I kind of look outside of that and ask for something better. You know,
mm-hmm.
I don't know what the answer to all the world's problems are, but I know there's problems. So I'm going to look for how we can fix it or how a group of people can fix it. Not just me, because I think if I just came up with the answer to all the problems, it just creates problems for somebody else.
It's so true.
You know,
and maybe we're the fools. Maybe we're the fools for asking. Maybe there's somebody up there laughing, like, look, they're funny. They're trying to figure it out. I have a constant feeling that my higher self, if you believe in higher selves, is constantly laughing at me. Like, continually, like, oh, my gosh, you're such an idiot. Like, because I really feel that the more we know, the more that I've studied this forever, and the more I know, more I realize we don't know anything.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And when you say that your higher self is sitting up there laughing at yourself, it could be something as simple in the Edward Snowden age that somebody in some bunker is listening to our conversations, reading our text and emails, laughing
How
at
funny.
Yeah, laughing
right.
at us more than the higher power would laugh. I mean,
isn't that hilarious?
Look at these idiots. They actually believe they can make a difference.
Well, think about what we think about what people thought in the past.
Right.
I mean, when you really think that the Earth is flat, I mean, you know, we laugh about it, but when you really think about what their belief was, is that we had a foundation, there was nothing below us, that it was completely flat, and that everything was just above us.
Right.
And that, you know, something swallowed the sun. It's not the Earth. Sun did not rotate anywhere. There's no rotation in this theory. And how ridiculous that sounds, I mean, I'm sure 1,000 years from now, they're going to be saying the same thing about about us, you know?
Yeah, right, exactly. I mean, just 100 years ago, a little over 100 years ago, some of the, you know, the beliefs with minorities and women were ridiculous. And we think we're this enlightened group of people.
Right.
And we're just a few years ahead of some pretty crazy, damaging things.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's really funny.
Yeah,
it is pretty humorous.
Yeah, we're still killing people over stupid things. We still have wars and murder and all kinds of crazy stuff that you would think that the great humans that we are would be able to get past.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's this crazy experience called life, and live it however you live it, but just live it true.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
And whatever you did yesterday does not mean that you have to do the same thing today.
Good
point. Every moment is a new moment in the world, and make it something better. Just because yesterday you were, say, attracting a bunch of, you know, negativity, bad situations in your life, doesn't mean that you can't just smile about it and look like a fool to some people, because that's exactly what's going to happen. You're going to look like a fool to some people.
That's a great, great point, because you can actually even change it at the minute you recognize it. And that's the thing. Just recognize it. When you sit there and I've done it. I've been in traffic and I'm so angry because I'm late. And you can actually feel it physically on the forefront of your head, in the frontal lobe of your brain. Seriously, try this. It's really cool. When you're stressed out and you're late, you can feel it move to the front, almost towards your face. And then when you stop and you say, okay, whatever, I'm late, I'm gonna roll with it. You can actually feel it move to the back of your brain. It's the coolest thing ever. And then everything, it makes me laugh because I've seen it firsthand, and you will literally see things just open up in front of you, and it makes you laugh. It's just hilarious. The whole thing, the whole system is hilarious.
Yeah, I know. And using being late as an example is great for me, because I used to be late to everything. And I remember so many
times.
You were
late for this podcast, Christian.
I was late to this podcast, but it's been a hectic day. Someone had to make dinner. I went to the movies.
You created it.
I did. But, you know, I remember being in traffic because I was late, being stressed out. And say I had to be at work at 8. Once 8 o'clock reached, I was like, I wasn't stressed out anymore. I'm like, oh, I'm already late. I'll just deal with it. And it is a, you know, maybe it's not the best thing in the world when it comes to a work. You know,
no,
having to
but
be there.
But it does just lift it up. You're going to get there when you get there.
Right.
Just let it roll.
So you leave early and you deal with it. I always tell people, you do the right thing. Most of the time, you're going to be okay. You leave, you know, good. Just don't let it freak you out. If you get a little stressed out, realize that you're stressed and let it go. Move on.
I agree.
And you can move past it. So any last words or wisdom for the law of attraction and how and what we should look into or study or see in the world around us to make it a realization?
Oh, all the answers are in the world around us. They really, really are. If you never had a single word written on this planet, you would have all the answers within the trees and nature. And I know this is my hippie side coming out. but it really is. The answers are right within you. They're within your heart. They're around you. Read what you want to read. It will guide you. And whatever frequency you put out there, it's going to come to you. But when you ask the questions, you want to know an answer, ask the question specific. Don't say, why are we here? Ask a specific question. Why am I living within this turmoil? Or, you know what I mean? It's got to be specific. And you will find the answers. The answers will come to you because now you've put out that energy. That energy is going to come back to you. If you put it out the right way, it will come back.
I think you're asking the question is a good idea, because when you know, why are we here? That's such a general...
So vague.
Yeah, but we're going to get that answer, but because of our level of understanding, maybe we won't see that sign.
We'll never recognize that.
Yeah, because it's just too big. So if you ask a more specific question, and maybe not even, you ask this a more specific question and then let it go instead of sitting around looking for the answer.
And when it comes to you, it's like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
There it is.
And sometimes you might realize a year later, oh, you know, I remember asking that question, and then there was the answer like 5 months later, and I've been living it since then, but I just never thought about it because I just let it go.
Yeah, or years and years later. I've had some that have come. It's taken a long time, but I realized when I got the answer why I didn't get the answer sooner. It's because I wasn't ready. I had to have all this other information leading up to it in order to receive that answer. There's no way I could have understood that answer having not had all that other information. So, I mean, you just got to, like you said, be patient sometimes, but be specific.
I think you're right there. So I think we're at a point
kind of
where...
Kind wrapped it up.
Kind of. But I wanted to go into... Because normally we touch on a conspiracy. And this conspiracy that I want to talk about is not really... I don't know if it's a conspiracy. It's maybe just a point I'm seeing. We see a lot of gun violence going on right now. There's all kinds of shootings going on, and it's in the media. And you hear people yelling and screaming about guns this and guns that. You know, we need to make it to where people can't own guns, and other people are like, they're trying to take away our guns. And
so
to
what's
me,
your take on that?
I don't know if my take is really on a conspiratorial level, but my take is, if we're fighting over the fact that we should own guns or we shouldn't, we're missing the point. I think that's such a, maybe it, going back to a vague question, it's just doesn't work. We're so busy fighting over something, and we see all this violence in the world, you know, mass shootings and stuff like that. And no, you know, you see some people talk about the mental health aspect of it, but mostly you hear that we shouldn't have these guns or access to guns.
Mm-hmm.
And then other people are like, you know, they're trying to take our guns. So are we asking the right question there?
You know, all right, I'll tell you what. At no point do I think the government is ever going to come to your door and ask for your guns. They're way, way smarter than that. What they're going to do is they're going to have us turn on each other to take each other's guns away. They've already started doing it. So what we do is we, oh, that person's mentally incompetent, therefore they can't have a gun. And then now who do we determine to be mentally incompetent? And then that person, oh, they're on medication, they shouldn't have weapons. So we're going to actually take them from each other. And the government's smart enough to know that they're not going to be able to go door to door and take your guns. They know that. That's just ridiculous to think that they would ever do that. What they're going to do is they're going to manipulate us to take it from each other.
And that could be, maybe that's where the conspiracy lies, is the fact that we are being controlled. And I'm not sure the government really cares about our guns that much.
I don't think so either, actually.
I know there are people out there and a pretty substantial group of, or amount of people that would like Americans not to have them. And just on the opposite side, there's somebody that thinks we should have them and carry them on our hip even into schools.
Yeah, that's like, I mean, that's putting the toothpaste back in the tube.
Right.
It's, you're not going to get it back in. You can take it away from law-abiding citizens, but it's not going to help because criminals are still going to have guns. It's just not going to work.
And criminals will still have guns, and the people that are doing a lot of the shootings you see in the, you know, on the news lately are not even criminals. So,
it's true.
So we're too busy arguing over
and
all this crazy.
And how many of them have registered their gun?
Right. They're all... The majority of them are legal gun owners. They may have mental health issues.
They took it from their mom or something.
Yeah, and it's just, I think we're too busy arguing from the wrong point of view instead of the two sides getting together and trying to make it better. And I think that's the same everywhere. In politics, you know, right and left, they're mm-hmm. so busy arguing their one-sided views that they don't meet in the middle and figure out what works for everybody. So there's a... I'm not ever one that says we should, I don't believe in gun control as far as, you know, the normal, we should take everybody's guns away.
Mm-hmm.
But I do believe it's okay to have a conversation on how to make it a better world.
I agree.
And so it's, I always sit back and get frustrated. And I posted something on our Facebook page, about the Santa Barbara shooting. It was a very unique perspective that I never thought of.
And what was that?
Well, basically, it was more of a... The reason this guy had gone on this shooting spree is because girls didn't want to date him.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, what he's saying is, he's a guy, so girls should date him. And it's kind of a weird, I guess, male perspective view. And I think the quote from this video blogger was... The guy was a misogynist with a gun, and I just love that take on it because it was a totally different viewpoint that I had never thought of. But this guy thought that women should bow to him and date him just because he was a male. And
I think it was one of the one things that he couldn't just have.
Yeah.
I mean, he was fairly spoiled from what I read and got everything that he wanted. It was just one of those things that he couldn't just go out and buy.
Right.
I mean, I guess you could to some degree, but not like a real relationship.
Right, and those are the... maybe that's where we're missing the point. Is something like that, why did this man feel entitled?
The entitlement right there.
Right.
Entitlement behavior that is rampant within our society.
And I think that is something that we can have a conversation about and talk about. And in the United States, you cannot talk about taking away people's guns. You can't talk about it. You can say, oh, yeah, nobody should have guns because of this, that, and the other thing. But it's not a conversation that's going to work.
No, but it will definitely stimulate the gun industry.
Right. There's a lot of people.
We know that. Obama did a really good job because the price of guns has gone up. People are stockpiling ammo left and right. Can't keep them in stock. they can't manufacture them fast enough. As soon as you say, I'm going to take this from you, what did they do? They just went out and bought as much as they possibly could. It's right. The most ridiculous. This is humans. This
right.
is
it's,
what we do.
It's the same thing about, say, certain industries where you're like, there's going to be a little bit of scarcity. All of a sudden, the prices go up and people go out and buy a lot. And the guys that kind of backhandedly or secretly put that information out there are counting their money.
Laughing all the way to the bank.
Right. So, like I said, it's not a conspiracy. It's not like a lecture. I just think guns are a good example of the fact that we have two sides arguing ridiculous points that don't really matter or make a difference.
Get to the issue at all.
Right. And we don't, instead of fixing the things that are fixable. And,
mm-hmm. Which is what? I mean, I guess we would have to get to the heart of mental illness.
Right.
Why does somebody feel they can shoot somebody else? That's the real issue. And that's a deep issue that I don't know that people want to tackle. It's much easier to fight about the superficial things with guns than to really get to the heart of the issue. Because the truth is, it's about emotion. It's about people's state of mind and their well-being.
Well,
and that's a deep issue.
Yeah, we're in an age where we're much more enlightened in a lot of ways. We understand human psychology and the brain and the effects different things have on us, but we refuse to address it. So, and it's not just gun violence. There's all kinds of issues that we can take care of mental health-wise that would make the lives of, you know, Americans, citizens of the world, and especially our loved ones, would make our lives better and their mm-hmm. lives better. But we don't want to have that conversation, and we're not able to have that conversation because we're so busy fearing that someone's either going to take our guns away or commit violence on us. So, mm-hmm. again, it's a fear
living
thing.
Living in fear.
Right.
Fear, right.
So I guess if we're going to wrap it up from here, I'd say we need to stop living in fear. Open our eyes a little bit and just figure out how we're going to make this world a better place in a non-violent, non-judgmental way and uplift each other instead of putting down the people that don't agree with us.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So I guess we can wrap it up there. That's our positive message for the day. Uplift our fellow citizens and humans and Stop the violence. Just joking on I'm not just joking on the stop the violence, but it sounded really cheesy.
It did sound pretty cheesy. I think you should end it there.
Okay. No more cheesies. Cheesiness, whatever you want to call it. So until next time, Katie, we are talking shiitake.